Good morning. Peace of the Lord be with you today and always as we come towards the end of the summer. Good to see you here today on this blessed day. Today we finish the Feast of the Dormition of Mary, so we still sing some of the hymns of that feast. A very beautiful feast. And the reason why we've had two Sundays in which we continue to celebrate that feast is because it was on a Saturday. And in the Orthodox Church, most feasts last 8 days. So today is the 8th day of the Feast of the Dormition, what Catholics call and Protestants call the Assumption of Mary. So in today's gospel reading, we heard about a young man, Neoniskos in the Greek. And please remember that the Greek that we read in church, both in the liturgy and in the readings from the Bible, the entire service is in the Greek that was spoken at the time of Jesus. It's not modern Greek. So when you come to an Orthodox church, at least to a Greek Orthodox church, you hear the language of the Bible as it was written, not as we have changed it. And most translations of the Bible, especially in the English language, are horrendous and not to be trusted. Because people play fast and loose with the Bible, and they put their own interpretations, they change the wording, they make it easier to understand, they paraphrase it, they do all sorts of tricks to sell Bibles, and there's at least 60 or 70 different Bibles that you can buy out there. Just check Amazon, you'll see. But this man was a young man, a Neoniskos, he's called in the ancient Greek. But right before this Neoniskos came to Jesus, right before, what had happened was the children who had been brought to Jesus, and Jesus saying, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." One of the worst things that Greeks do is not bring their children to church. It's no wonder that they drift away from church. But that's a sermon for another day. Actually, those days are pretty much gone. All those children have drifted away. So, right before our reading today, Jesus said, "Let the children come to me." And then, immediately after the episode with the children, immediately, the New Testament does not say at that time, that ridiculous at that time, that always makes me laugh. That's as we read it in the liturgy. No. That's not what's written in the New Testament in Matthew's Gospel. Not at that time, but ke idu. And behold, look here. What's going to happen now? See the young man come to Jesus. Keidu, is, proselthon afto, is, one young man, one specific young man, is, comes to Jesus. It's almost the way Matthew wrote this segment, first the children, then the young man, coming to Jesus to ask a question about inheriting eternal life. It's almost like Matthew is looking forward and saying, let's see what happens to one of these children. Maybe one of these children will be this young man, this Neoniskos, that comes to Jesus, that comes to Jesus to ask a question about eternal life. That's how I'm reading it. That's how I'm reading the fact that the episode that we read now, the young man, the Neoniskos, follows immediately after the children. And Matthew says, Keidu, behold, look here. Pay attention. Maybe some of these children, because you see, people were trying to stop these children from coming to Jesus. And Jesus says, no, let the children come to me. Suffer the little children to come to me, in the King James Version. There are people today who don't want children to come to church, who prevent children, who don't bring children to church. So it's almost like Matthew is telling us, maybe some of these children are going to be like this young man, are going to be like the young man in Portland who over the years have just abandoned Christianity. And from what we learn in this reading, this young man was rich. Today, he might be making lots of money on the internet or artificial intelligence, maybe a young entrepreneur, a billionaire in his 20s. Matthew tells us he had many possessions, a lot of money. And Matthew tells us at the end of the story that he walked away. He walked away because this young man loved his money and his possessions more than he loved his soul. It's almost as if Matthew is asking the question, how many of those children that Jesus blessed would end up as young men who loved their money more than their souls? Or young women who never attained to the softness of heart that God designed women to have, and which Our Lady, the Theotokos, had. But let me correct myself. Softness of heart is not just for women, but for men also. And I'm not talking woke blasphemy that wants to make men into women. No, I'm talking Bible, because this is what the Bible says. This is what God says. Today, when you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. The prophet said, today, when you hear God's voice, do not harden your hearts. Soften your hearts. Do not harden your hearts. And you can't soften your heart if your faith is transactional. If your faith is all about, what do I get for being here, for believing, for supporting the church? And what is the minimum that I have to do to get what I want? That's really what the young man was asking Jesus. Our Orthodox faith is not transactional. Unlike other churches out there, false churches I call them, we don't promise money and health and things of earthly value to people who believe. But let's ask some questions that arise from the story of the young man. What are Orthodox people teaching their children? What are people in the Orthodox Church teaching their children? Where do their hearts lie? What do they dream of? Will they be adults of the kingdom? Or adults who turn away from the Lord Jesus Christ like the young man today? Serious questions. because you hear it all the time and I hear it all the time. I'm a good person. I'm a good person. I don't hurt anybody. I help some people if I can. I follow the rules. I even go to church. I believe in God or in some higher power. I'm a good person. So I'm okay, right? I'm okay, am I not? No. Not necessarily, maybe you are, only God knows. Not for me to say whether you're a good person or not, but not necessarily though. Because Jesus knew what button to push to really bring to the surface who this young man was. And to reveal where his heart was and how his heart was. And the young man, for all the rules that he was following and all the commandments that he was following, failed the test. So now we ask the question, and the apostles asked that question when Jesus said some pretty hard stuff there. No rich man can enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoa, the apostles said, then who can be saved? So was this young man damned because he failed the test? I don't think so. I actually hope not. Because quite frankly, if he was damned for refusing to sell everything and give it to the poor and follow Jesus to some unknown destination, to some unknown land, if he refused to do that and he failed the test because of that, then I don't think there's much hope for any of us. To be perfectly honest, we might as well all think that we believe that we're going to end up in hell. That's why I say, I don't think he was damned. But Jesus was teaching us through this young man to reveal what is in our hearts and to challenge us at the core of our being. Jesus challenged this young man at the core of his being. Not on the superficial level of what commandments he was observing. What did he still lack? He lacked the heart that was ready to give up everything to follow Jesus. And I dare to say that most of us also are in his shoes. Just to be honest, I know I can speak for myself. Jesus knew what button to push. I don't know what button he needs to push with you. I know maybe one or two buttons he needs to push with me. And it's not money. I don't have any. So for you, it might be something else. But he knows. He knows what button he had to push to expose what was lacking in this man's religion, and quite frankly, what he needed to release and to let go of was religion. It was the religion that needed to go. And I'm not saying just the Jewish religion. I'm talking about us too, because if your whole life revolves around religious rules of religion and you do not know Jesus Christ and your heart does not belong to us, then you need to let go of your religion. You need to lose your religion. As that famous R.E.M. was it R.E.M. song, something 1980s, somewhere back there, losing my religion. Yeah, we need to lose our religion if it's the religion that's keeping us. And I mean by religion, I don't mean your Orthodox faith. I mean your religiosity, your life that you live doing this and don't doing that and so on. But if your heart is far from God, far from Jesus Christ, it's of no value. Because then when Jesus pushes the button that he needs to push with you, you draw the line. Can't go there. Can't go there. Jesus said to the man, in modern language, okay, young man, you're good at following the script. But you know what? A robot can do that. And a robot can do it even better than you. That's not the point, young man. Can you leave it all and come follow me? I make no promises as to what you will happen when you follow me. Except this, you will be perfect and you will see God. Can you do it? He couldn't. But like he told the apostles, with men, it's impossible. You can't make it. But with God, all things are possible. And that's the hope that he throws at us too. That's the lifeline that he throws to us. With God, all things are possible. But darn it, soften your heart. Soften your heart so God can work in you. Living by religious rules can give you false assurance. And there's false assurance everywhere. But false assurance gives rise to what the great Lutheran martyr of the 20th century, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, called cheap grace. And if rules are all that religion means to you, then you come to the church the way this young man came to Jesus. You come for information. For information that will make you feel good. That will make you feel good. That will fix your life and somehow fix your marriage. Keep your kids from drugs. Information is not going to keep your kids from drugs. Fellowship with God is going to keep your kids from drugs. That's what AA has learned. You can learn, read all the books you want, but basically you need that accountability. You need that fellowship with others, a fellowship with God. Well, they call him higher power, but we call him God. So you come for information, and we have plenty of information. Orthodox have more information than anybody else. And Jesus, being the incarnate Word of God, the source of all meaning, of all information in the universe, right into the black holes, all the information that is sucked into the black holes, he's there too. He knows it. It's him. He has written it. He is the Word of God, the source of all meaning in the universe. And he certainly had all the information this young man could desire. But did you notice, though, another thing? The man came up to him and said, good teacher, what good things? He's stuck on the word good. And Jesus says, why do you call me good? One there is who is good. Immediately, Jesus is lifting this man from the level of everyday goodness, from what the world decides is good, and takes it away from information to a person. Jesus turned the discussion from information, from data, to a person. That person being God. Jesus gives him the information initially, or at least beginning of the information. But then comes the clincher. When the young man said, all these commandments I have observed, what do I still lack? That's what Jesus was waiting for. What do I still lack? And catch him. If you would be perfect, go sell what you possess, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. The answer to the young man's question was a person, not what good deeds he must do. The good deeds are important, but that was not the crux of the issue. The person comes first. His personhood, his heart, and the person that he's talking to, and the person that that person is pointing to. The young man saw Jesus as a highly qualified source of information about eternal life. He could not see Jesus as the giver, the source of eternal life. And instead of information, Jesus was offering to him a relationship of communion with him, which would take him to eternal life. Eternal life is not a what or a where, but a who. Who is eternal life? Jesus Christ is eternal life. Do you know him? Start knowing him. Soften your heart. Soften your heart. That's the message today.